Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is Pastor Anderson with today's message.
Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we want to look at verse 41 through 47. I want to not only read this, but kind of catch you up on the last 2 weeks as we go into this morning's message. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says this: "So then, those who had received his word were baptized." That's Peter's word. "And that day, they were added about 3,000 souls. And they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe and many wonders." That's something unusual that caused you to say, "Ah." Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. So now you have these miracles, works of power that are taking place through the apostles. Verse 44, "And all those who had believed were together, had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continually, with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people in the Lord." Watch this, not marketing schemes. "The Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." We need each other. So for the last 2 weeks, we've been just looking at what God did through the life of the apostles in Acts chapter 2. And we realized it was in Acts chapter 2 that these 120 were in the upper room, and they experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And as they experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit, Peter got up and preached one powerful message. He didn't do a self-help message, although we need that. He didn't talk about what was happening in Jerusalem, the Jerusalem magazine. He stood up and he preached the Old Testament written word that they had at that time. He preached about Jesus being crucified, Jesus being placed in a tomb, and Jesus being resurrected from the dead. He preached the scriptures. And as a church, we have to be guilty of giving people what thus said the Lord. That's the Bible. So he preaches. And if you watch the flow of the context, when the people heard, that's the ingathering. Those are the people that were inside, their lives changed. There was transformation. But then you had this outgathering, that there were more who came in. And because he preached the word with authority, and because people were being baptized, and because in verse 38, people repented in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of the sin, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, God started adding to the church. And if you watch the flow of the text, as a reminder, three things happened. Three things. Number one, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to God's word. And when you are devoted to God's word, you will experience a transformation in your life. Nothing changes you like the word of God. And when you start eating from the word and you start meditating on the word, and watch this, when you start applying the word, life transformation happens, and it should start in your home, that your spouse will see something different about you. Your thinking change, the way you speak change, the way you act change. It doesn't always change overnight, but there is a progression that happens because you are devoted to God's word. The second thing that we saw is that they fellowship with other believers. Fellowship, fellowship. And we really dive deep in that. One thing that we saw in fellowship was communion. We observed the Holy Communion last week. So they fellowship, they broke bread together through the Holy Communion, and then they fellowship by eating together. Sister Anderson, come sit at the table. Miss Jemison, sit at the table. Blake, sit at the table. And what happens when we eat a meal together, that's what they did day by day, house to house. They broke bread with one another. And by breaking bread with one another, they understood how to pray for one another. So here's how you break bread. How was your day, Blake?
Fun.
How was your week, Blake?
Boring.
Boy, you showed out. You did that thing. You did that. You even got a fumble. How did you feel about that? Boring. Okay. But Blake, let me ask you this. Your week was hard. Why was it hard?
Because. School.
School? What made it hard about school, Blake?
Oh, it wasn't hard. It was boring.
It was boring. Why was it boring?
Because all they do is lecture.
All they do is lecture. Miss Jameson, how was your week?
It was a good week.
You had a good week. What made your week so good?
Because I was here you to was be here. In it.
And you was here. But did you have any struggles this week?
Oh, of course.
Was it hard this week?
It was a challenge.
Well, how can I pray for you this week?
Just pray for me that I connect with that job I'm looking for.
You're looking for a job. Are you listening what I'm doing? Watch what I'm doing. Miss Sierra, how was your week this week?
It was really busy.
Yeah, I'm your husband. Man, you were sick. I slept on the couch last night. How do you feel this morning?
Better.
How can I pray for you?
That the Lord continues to heal my body.
When we break bread together and we eat together, it's bigger than just being together. It's about the mission of the church to get into the lives of the people. And when we're in the lives of the people, we know how to pray for one another. But when we don't break bread together in the church and we don't eat together in the church, we can't grow together as a community in the church. And that's why they went from house to house breaking bread. Daily, every day, spending time with each other. We can't spend time with each other every day, but what we can do is, I'm going to send Blake a text. Man, I hope your week is not boring. If it is, God bless you. Hang in there. Miss Jemison, I'm sending you a thank you note to let you know that I am praying for you, that God will give you a job and he will give you the right job at the right time, in the right season, with the right pay. Baby, you're going out of town next week. I don't want you to get on the plane and be throwing up on people. So I'm going to pray that God will heal you in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, I'm going to pray that he heals you so that junk won't come into our house. Do you see what I'm saying? That when we fellowship as believers, the third thing they did was they broke bread together, they had meals together, they did communion together, but they prayed together. And when we do life together, we know how to pray for one another. And when we do this, I just believe God will add to the church. Give them a hand. God will add to the church. Come here, Minister Holmes. He won't need you this time, Brother Selvin. So we talked about fellowship, being with one another, fellowship, prayer, eating together. And we started this way. Now, I helped Minister Holmes out today. Last week, these boxes were full of my t-shirts. And Minister Holmes has a personal life. In his personal life, he has his spiritual health, his physical health, his mental health. He has to administrate. But not only does he have to do that, we have to understand that Minister Holmes has a family. It's going to be easy today, Minister Holmes. So now he has to make sure that he's serving his wife, serving his children, making sure that the finances are together. However that equates in your home, he still has to do that. He has to spend quality time with his wife, because if you want to stay together for 54 years, you better have some date nights. Amen. You better have some quality time. You better put the kids to bed and have a little bit of intimacy. Amen. You better do something to make sure that your marriage is healthy and whole. But watch this. Then our kids have sports activity. How many kids are in sports? How many of your kids are in sports? Every last one of us have our kids in piano lessons, orchestra, sports, daycare. So not only does Minister Holmes have a personal life, he has his family. But watch this. Hopefully somewhere on there, he's getting involved in the church. So he's serving, he's fellowshipping, he's praying, he's worshiping, he's giving. Why? Because we understand our money doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. And I'm going to get on that in a minute. But then he understands outreach. But then Minister Holmes has a career. Y'all remember last week, he was struggling with all these boxes? He couldn't even hold them. I made it easy for you, boy. Watch this. He has this career. So he has to be concerned about training, education, the workplace relationships, his retirement, his transition. Maybe he may get laid off. He's concerned with all this. And then all of a sudden, life hits. He can experience burnout, conflict, failure, fear, negative influences, life, Let him drop it. Discouragement, divorce, sickness. And then we keep turning the box. There's pains. He has regrets. He has addictions. I hope you don't have them, but we struggle with addictions. There's depression. And then we have the low self-esteem issues. We have doubt. We have abuse. We struggle with bullying and betrayal. And all of a sudden, we put this at the top, and life hits, and he drops all of that. That's why we got to pray for one another, because all of us are carrying these boxes every single day. They pray for one another. Thank you, Minister Holmes. They pray for one another. But here's what I want to share with you this morning. Number three. They were living on God's mission together. One heart, one mind, on God's mission together. The early church was by a mission, and it was God's mission, and they accomplished God's mission together. We cannot impact this community if we don't do it as a unified body of believers filled with the Holy Spirit, understanding there's power on the inside. And when we tap into the power on the power on the inside overflows from the outside. And we can touch lives by the way we accomplish God's mission together. So the early church, they were mission-minded, reached outside the walls of the church in order to serve the community. So Brother Brandon, stand up for me. So one of the things we just started doing, we just started partnering with Summer Creek High School to help them with their Breakfast of Champions. So every Friday morning, we show up at the high school. And this past Friday, we showed up and we sponsored the breakfast for the entire program. So as a church, we bought 100 Chick-fil-A sandwiches. And soon-to-be minister Brandon Sweeney spoke. And if I tell you that boy hit a grand slam, oh my God. And I learned things about Brandon that I would have never learned without him partnering with the church to use his gifts and talents to bless the community. I didn't know Brandon struggled. And I didn't know that Brandon at one time thought about committing suicide. And I didn't know that Brandon had a knife to his neck because he lost a kidney playing football. And he grew up with LeBron in Akron, Ohio, maybe not hanging with him, but the same community. And he wanted to make it big. But when he lost his kidney, he couldn't play. And I'm not going to steal your thunder. But man, he grew up broke. They grew up riding a taxi cab. They grew up riding the bus to school. And he was able to minister and mentor to young men because he was about God's mission program. He reached outside of the church and he made an impact. God dog it, I'm trying to preach today. It's about making an impact. But we have to understand we have gifts. And we can't sit on our gifts because the church will grow from a multiplicity of gifts. And God has given every last one of you a gift. But my question is, how are you using the gift to be a blessing to the kingdom that lives may be transformed for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ? So here are these believers. They were together. And watch what happens. Verse 44. And all those who had believed were together, had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions, and were sharing with them who had a need. Now, I've discussed this with many guys in seminary. Oh my God, if you want to have a long debate, talk to guys in seminary. You know, that's kind of socialism. Man, that's not socialism. That could be communism. No, it's not. They voluntarily gave of their resources for the benefit of other people. And when there was a need in the church was able to meet the need. The reason why we need to know each other, because if there is a need in this church, we don't wait on pastor to do it. We don't wait on pastor to fund it. We come together as one body of believers and we help our sister. We pray for our brother. We serve them by meeting the need. Well, pastor, I need $5. I'm going to pray for you. How do you feel if you know I got 20 in my pocket? And I can break you off five, but all I say is, Miss Rios, I'm just going to pray for you. No, let me pray and let me add something to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That God has given us resources to benefit this community to make a difference in the life of this church. So they were sharing with one another as they may have need. So this has been a long week. I met with one of my board members. So So those of you who don't know, regional international coordinator for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. My territory is most of Latin America and Mexico. So I travel throughout the week. I travel throughout the state. So I really have to live a very structured life. And I said this last week, if I pull my calendar, my wife can look at my calendar and tell to the detail what I'm doing for the next 2 weeks. That's how I have to live. I'm not saying that's how you have to live, but I have to structure my life. So now I'm training my wife now that she has a huge promotion. Baby, you have to structure your life that you only have a certain amount of energy, a certain amount of capacity, and you're going to meet the capacity and the energy, and you're going to max out. So structure your life in such a way that you can reach and maximize your capacity without wearing yourself out. So watch this. I'm in Frisco, Texas, Wednesday and Thursday. I get up. I give a presentation. I'm there to raise money to help Julio Gomez, who's in Guatemala, fund his position. So I open it up. I give my presentation. I sit down. Julio gets up. He speaks. My global leader gets up. He speaks. And I came in to close it. So I'm the closer. So I get up and I give my spiel. I tell them, this is three things I'm asking you. Would you prayerfully consider joining us on this journey as we take the gospel of Jesus Christ to Guatemala to help fund his position that we can see the lives of coaches and athletes change? Here's the next thing I'm asking you. Would you prayerfully consider making an investment of whatever God puts on your heart financially to help Julio get fully funded? Check. And if you do so, would you do it today? Boom. We take a break. I walk out. Now here's where I'm going with this. That when we are together and we express our needs and we understand that fellowship is important and that we identify the need, we can make an ask. I walked out the room. And the director in Frisco ran up. Oh, my God, we got $20,000. I said, praise God for $20,000. Now, here's where I want you to see. Don't miss this. It was a miracle. It was a sign. It was a wonder. So Julio was so blown out of his mind that he said, Hermano, Hermano, praise God. I can't believe God can do this. I said, yeah, because your expectations are too low. That we serve a big God. And if God called you to do ministry, it's God's job to fund the ministry. It's your job to believe. I said, man, praise God. And that's what they were doing. That when they were breaking bread and they were going from house to house and God was meeting needs, God showed up in a miraculous way, performed signs and wonders, which are miracles, and he blew their mind. Do I have anybody in here this morning that you need a miracle from God, that you need a sign from God, that you need a wonder from God? You have to believe that you serve a God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. I'm preaching now. I'm in my groove now. All you can ask or think, you have to know that. So I said, come here, Julio. We are at Globe Life Park. Texas Rangers play. We're getting ready to go out and watch the baseball game. I said, we're going to pray right now. Right here, Armando? Right here. I don't care if the president, the CEO is walking by. They need to know that we're celebrating the God who showed up in the life of one donor, and a donor took out his checkbook and wrote $20,000 on the check so that you can be fully funded. And we prayed, and we prayed till heaven came down. And before I know it, people was watching us, and they're celebrating. See, people take that cue from us. Quit being ashamed of your God. Quit worrying about what people think, that when you celebrate God for the miracles, I'm a high five. Watch this. Girl, you just got a new house. Let me high five you. That's a miracle. How do I know? She wrote that down on a prayer request card. And God showed up and sold your house. And he did something that you didn't expect. And now you move from Kingwood to Atascocita. Hey, that's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that we serve. So they sold their properties. They had all things in common. Verse 46. Day by day, they continue with one mind in the temple, breaking the bread from house to house. And they were taking their meals together with gladness. Do you know they never stopped eating together? That if you research this text, it was literally 300 years after this text that they literally had a church building. They would worship in the outer courts of the temple. They didn't worship in the temple. So that shows me it's not about a church building. You the church. You are the church. And we can take the church from house to house, and we can break bread, and we can see the lives of people change for the sake of the gospel. So Friday, I'm eating with Mike Self, my board member, and we're sitting there eating, breaking bread. And he says, "Pastor, man, how's the church going?" "It's going well." "You're growing?" "Yes, family by family. I'm not looking for overnight success, because success is determined by God, not by matrix. That's the problem with the church." So he said, "Great. Here's why I'm praying for you, Pastor. Because you have a load of energy coming out. That not only are you leading the people at the church, and you got to understand what they're going through, and you have to build based off what God is giving you, and you have to see the big picture. You can't get locked in on one department, that you have to see everything." "Am I right, Pastor? That the people will never see what you see, and they will fight and they will argue to push their cause, but Pastor, you got to stand strong and you got to lead because God is giving you the big picture." I said, "Okay, Micah, calm down." Then he said, "So I'm praying for you." He said, "Secondly, I want you to know me and my wife are selling our home and we're moving to another community." I said, "Great." He said, "It's a bigger home, more property." I said, "So why are you moving? Your kids are going to be out in the next 8 years." He said, "Here's why I'm moving. I'm moving because I want to use my home as a door of ministry. That when small groups have a need, they can come to our house. That when women want to get together with my wife, they can come eat at my house. That when men are hurt and they're broken and they're going through divorce, they can come to my house because my house is a place of safety and refuge for those who are hurting and those who are broke." Do you not know that is what they was doing in the book of Acts from day to day, eating with one another? And that's why it's so important that we fellowship. So they sold their property. In verse 47, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day. When God is doing miracles, and we see signs and wonders, and we have favor with everyone, that should leave us in awe. And I put that on that slide. That when God is performing miracles in our lives, and that we are sharing it with one another, that should leave us in awe of the miracle-working power of Christ. So I wasn't going to do this, but the Lord put this on my heart. So 2 weeks ago, I asked everyone to fill out prayer request cards. We got 35, and doggone it, God is starting to answer prayer. That as we pray over these cards, and as we develop now a prayer team, we understand that through the book of Acts, that God was performing miracles as people prayed. And when we come together to pray, watch how God will perform miracles in our marriage, miracles in our finances, miracles in our children, miracles in our homes, miracles on our jobs, miracles in our hearts. And we won't always have a boring week at school because we understand it's not about me, but it's about what I can do to be a blessing to other people. God was adding to the church because the church was about the mission of Christ. So as I close, here's what I want you to consider. The primary mission of the church, three things, and I'm done. Number one, we got to proclaim the gospel. It's the gospel that changes people's lives. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two, we got to build people up in their faith, because when people are strong in their faith, they don't mind sharing their faith with somebody else. It's when we're caught on our addictions and our personal habits and we're drowning in discouragement and we're drowning in depression. How can we be a blessing to someone else? So we have to undergird them, support them, and build them up in their faith. And the last thing, when we build people up in the faith, they are made effective in service and for service. How can you minister if none of your needs are met and you're always down and you're always broke and you're always depressed and you're always hurting? When the Holy Spirit comes in your life and you understand the power of prayer and you understand there is healing in prayer and you spend time with other people, watch what God would do. Watch how he's going to show up. So today, I'm going to encourage you, take a prayer card. If you got more needs, fill it out. Because as a church, we want to know how to pray for you. And when we pray for you, and it's time for praise and worship, Don't you be afraid to celebrate your God. You celebrate God like it's your last time, coach. You lift up your hands, you get outside your ego, and you tell God, God, thank you that you allow me to go to Italy. Thank you that you allow me to travel the world, to go to France. If y'all don't know, this brother and his wife go all over the world, all day, every day, all times of the year. And God would allow them to get on the plane, protect the plane, put them down on the ground safely, bring them back, watch over their house. That's why we celebrate God, that God is everywhere at the same time, and just like he's taking care of them, he can take care of you. Why? Because God wants us to have favor with everyone, and when we do that, God will add to this church. He'll add to this church. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? He'll add to this church. He'll add to this church. And I want y'all to understand something. If you hadn't gotten it now, this church is about prayer. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. So as we extend the opportunity for you to trust Christ publicly, we want you to know that
thank you for listening. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at The Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas. Visit us online at www.globaloutreachcc.org. Remember, your life matters because it matters to Christ.